This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Are you tired of the old bait and switch when you're buying auto insurance online? May I interest you in a conversation with an actual human being regarding your insurance needs? If so, call HVH Insurance Services at 888-498-4495. HVH Insurance specializes in auto, home, and business insurance. For honesty, integrity, and a personal relationship with your broker, pick up the phone today and call HVH at 888-498-4495 or log on to hvhins.com. That's hvhins.com.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies, this is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Well, it is Saturday night, so that means that I am back, and just want to remind you guys that American Addict 2, the movie, is now out on Amazon. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can see it for free. It's on Dish TV, DirecTV, on iTunes. It's everywhere. You need to see the film. It could really help save your life, literally. So, listen, tonight's show is a little different. Normally, we tackle one main topic, sometimes even two. But because of the person that we have on tonight and how prolific of a writer she is, she's written on so many different topics that we're going to bounce around. But all the topics that we're going to talk about are just incredibly important to you and really our whole society. She is, like I said, a prolific writer. And she's written about GMOs, depopulation agenda, energy, the corporatocracy, which is really our current governmental structure. The list goes on and on. I know about a year and a half ago, I told my producer, Kelly Epsery, that every time I would go to different websites, and I'm talking about alternative media websites, I would read some really interesting article. I'm like, my God, I didn't know that. And I didn't know this. I didn't know that. I'm like, how is this? And I keep seeing the same name over and over again. I'm like, how is this person getting this information? And I'd be on two or three different websites and the same name would keep popping up. And I'm like, we have to get her on this show. Well, I know that she had just had a baby then, and it was a little difficult when you have a newborn. So it's taken, I think, about a year to get her on, but we do have her on tonight. Of course, I'm speaking of Christina Sarich, and Christina is a prolific freelance writer. She writes currently for The Underground Reporter, Walking Times, Mind Unleashed, and she's previously written for Natural Society. I think that's where I first saw her writings. Her blog is Yoga for the New World. Her latest book is Pharmasutra, Healing the Body and Mind Through Art of Yoga. And she's also in a different time zone. So, Christina, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, thank you for staying up late on a Saturday night to be with us. And as I said, you write on so many different topics. And I just want to ask you, first of all, how did you even get into this? I mean, because you tackle everything. So what gave you the motivation to do these things?
You know, I'd have to go back in hindsight to even figure out how it all happened, because I was a performer by trade for a long time. I used to be a vocalist. And 9/11 happened, and that was a career change, and I started teaching yoga. So I definitely became more interested in, you know, alternative health, because yoga definitely could be classified as such. But then I started writing just because I realized that beyond the field of yoga, most of my students were completely uninformed about how to eat right, the importance of drinking clean water. I mean, just some really basics, what I consider basic stuff, which sadly isn't the norm in our American society, as you pointed out really well in American Addicts. But really, I think I was motivated because my own mother was a neonatal intensive care nurse for little tiny babies, and her health was horrible. She's not with us any longer. She's a wonderful woman. She did a lot in her field, and I appreciate what she gave to medicine, to Western medicine. But she kind of fit the poster child advertisement of what not to do. She took every medication you can think of. She was overweight. Both of her knees were out. She called it her bionic knees when she had them replaced. She didn't believe in eating organic food. She didn't think that there was any difference between that and, you know, a chicken fried steak. So just, you know, it wasn't her fault. In medical school and nursing school, they didn't really spend a lot of time on nutrition. They didn't talk about, they might not have even known, you know, how completely infiltrated our food system had become with pesticides and additives and fungicides and herbicides and, you know, all the stuff that was never meant to go in our bodies. So I think that I was almost subconsciously driven just seeing her, you know, work 12 and 24 hour shifts helping other people try to get healthy, and she could never seem to do it for herself. And so I've kind of lived the opposite lifestyle. I eat organic. I try to eat a very much plant-based diet. I have been active since I can remember, since I was 16 years old. People never guessed my age. I just had a baby, as you mentioned, at 42, and people still think I'm in my 30s. Thank you for that. I don't know how long it'll last, but, you know, these things, that these choices that we make, they definitely have a profound effect on the quality of our lives. So
it's very true.
How it ended up being what I do.
You know, it's what you say is so true, because I know that when I was in medical school, residency, and even today, some of the most unhealthy people I know are doctors and nurses. And I can speak from my own personal experience that in medical school, in residency, this stuff is not really taught. And when you do get some of it, it's de-emphasized and looked at as something that is an add-on at best and quackery at worst. And as, you know, for me, unlearning all that stuff, it really turns out to be the complete opposite, sadly. And it's mm-hmm. the medications and all that, all these things, in my opinion, that should be more of the temporary adjunct if you need it. And it's being healthy that makes people stay, you know, not be sick. And so you mentioned the food, and that's a huge topic, and that's where I really want to start, because you've written tons about it. Seems like it's like every time I saw your name, I'd see Monsanto, you know, the evil
right.
empire. And believe me, they are well hated throughout the world. And when we look at GMOs, you know, you have the mainstream will tell people it's all the same. It's a solution for feeding the world. There was that one picture a few weeks ago, I'm sure you saw, that was all on social media of the two salmon when they approved FDA green-lighted GMO salmon, and this mutant huge salmon next to the normal salmon. And we're just supposed to eat that and not mm-hmm. think that there's a problem. So what do you think about GMOs in general?
Well, first of all, the premise upon which GMOs are sold, they started out being, they told farmers that we had a food shortage and that there were too many people on this planet, and we needed to feed them all, and we were having difficulties. So that's why you see, you know, food aid packages going to Africa and other countries that are considered third world that would be largely GMO corn and soy. And just as an aside, fortunately, some of those countries said no thanks and sent some of that food aid back because they understood that GMOs were toxic. But first of all, that premise is completely erroneous. There's a Malthusian edict to sort of cull the population. So when people, it's so funny. I was living somewhere maybe 4 or 5 years back, and I was surrounded by young professionals. You know, these are people that have college educations. They're very intelligent. But half of them, when I said the word GMO, they didn't even know what I was talking about. So, I would have to start with, okay, this is a genetically modified organism, and this is what that means. But let me take you all the way back to why we're told we need them, so that you know that the original premise behind how these were marketed is completely wrong. So, secondly, any time that you alter the genome, and we've learned this over time with lots of scientific peer-reviewed studies that have been squelched by the industry, and I write so much about Monsanto, not because they're the only ones that are doing it, but they do have a huge market share. So and they have some of the most corrupt tactics for pushing GMOs on Americans and on people overseas. So, you know, they've got guys in every possible place that they could put them to promote this, from our legal system to our judiciary system to the big ag system. It's everywhere. And then they'll go work for Monsanto. You know, it's a revolving door.
Right.
So, and a lot of people, I think, are starting to become more aware of that, and that's old news. But, yeah, they're not. It's not the same thing. A genetically modified organism is made, first of all, to be able to withstand copious amounts of spraying by herbicides, pesticides, and some of these GMOs actually have them bred into the plant itself. So, you know, that premise, aside from the depopulation agenda, should raise some alarm bells for anyone with a thinking mind, because why would I want to eat something that's made to live after it's been sprayed and sprayed and sprayed with, I don't even know, I think glyphosate has now been named the most used herbicide in history. I don't even know how many millions of pounds have been sprayed at this point. And that's just one pesticide, one herbicide. There's over 8,000 that are currently in use that the EPA says, go ahead, if they're safe.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, if you look at those two things alone, you know, if you know nothing else about food, if you know nothing else about nutrition, if you're not even sure, you're like kind of on the fence about what GMOs stand for politically, because it can get to be a pretty heated debate with some people, you know, those two things raised alarm bells for me, because for thousands of years, we didn't have genetically modified food, you know, and human beings back to caveman days had much different health than we have now. So aside from the addiction to prescription medications that Americans are, you know, subjected to, we're also eating this toxic food. And then that plays right into the hands of Big Pharma, though. And what's even more fascinating once you start to go down this rabbit hole is that these agrochemical companies are also pharmaceutical companies, if you really break it down and look at all their spinoffs and subsidiaries. So they're giving you toxic food. Then they're, you know, you get sick and you go see Dr. Smith and say, hey, I'm not feeling so good. And, well, not you, but another doctor.
It's a common name. I get it.
Dr. John tells you, okay, let me give you this pill so that you feel better, and pretty soon you're on five of them. You know, your weight hasn't changed, your food cravings haven't changed, your skin is sallow, you have no energy. You know, pretty soon you have fibromyalgia or Crohn's disease, and later you have cancer, the list goes on, diabetes. And they never address the fact that you're being poisoned, essentially, by your food. And then you're given poison medicine to, quote, you know, address the issues with your poison food that, you know, have caused your horrible health.
There's no doubt. The food is, in my opinion, the biggest problem. As much as I, you know, bang the drum against Big Pharma, it is the food, because everyone's eating. And mm-hmm. the food, the toxicity in the food is amazing. You know, it's, I think the, was it the CEO of Monsanto, Hugh Grant, was publicly saying that Roundup herbicide has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to not be a carcinogen, does not cause cancer.
Right.
And I think one of their, I don't know if it was him or another of his employees, said they would drink it to prove right out of the bottle to prove that it was not toxic. I mean, it just reminds you of the whole tobacco industry executives years ago, all mm-hmm. in front of Congress going, it does not cause cancer. It does not cause cancer. It is, yep. It's absolutely insane. And people have to connect the dots. And you said it a few minutes ago that when people get sick, then they end up at the doctor and they get more medication to treat something that they really shouldn't have gotten in the first place if they weren't subjected to this food. So, you know, again, Monsanto makes it easy to beat up on them. But do you think, what do you think about the people that work at Monsanto? Because I mean, is it really just the powers at the top that have a sinister agenda, or is it the whole company?
Well, there's a couple of things going on. First of all, even universities get funding from these biotech companies. So Monsanto, Syngenta, Dow, they might fund an entire wing at the biology department or the biochemistry department at the university. And so, I mean, this happens at some of the most prestigious places that you wouldn't imagine that they could be bought out, you know, Yale, Harvard, Stanford. So the professors or, you know, the scientific staff, the staff that's working to prove a scientific theory that, you know, glyphosate, for instance, is non-carcinogenic or doesn't cause endocrine disruption or doesn't mess with our gut flora, they'll be paid very heavily through grants. And, you know, there's also some side checks going on to sway the scientific data to favor what Monsanto wants to present. So, you know, we can't just blame the big bad CEO, Hugh Grant, even though, you know, I have a few choice words for him. But, you know, there are other people that collude to help perpetuate this myth that GMOs are safe. And then there are, you know, there are some brave people out there. There are even former biotechnologists that come out and say, you know what, I was paid to say this and I was encouraged to lie. And look at what happened with Tyrone Hayes when he went against atrazine, when he was talking out about that. I mean, he went through all kinds of professional heck to try to get his message out because he was actually hired to promote atrazine, the pesticide I'm talking about, and he was finding that frogs and fish were becoming hermaphrodites because their endocrine system was completely whack. Their hormones were so messed up, and it was all from this pesticide exposure from the runoff from farms and in the area that would go into the lakes and streams. So that's part one. And then I think part two, you know, I look at my own mother. Her heart was in the right place. Like, she really went into the medical field, heart and soul, wanting to help other people. And she did in a lot of ways. You know, I still think Western medicine has redeeming qualities to a large degree. But if you buy into the big pharma version of Western medicine, which she did, you know, your health is going to suffer and you can't help people. And so I think there are a lot of people that work for Monsanto or Syngenta or Dow who have kind of drunk the Kool-Aid, so to speak, and they've bought in on the propaganda. Maybe some of them, you know, kind of know in their guts that they're doing the devil's work. I hate to put it that way, but, you know, they're doing a dirty deed to promote these GMOs that are so horrible for the planet. But I think a lot of people just don't know any better. And then they just, you know, have to feed their families and they show up at work every day and, you know, stick their their head in a lab and don't come out until 5 or 6 o'clock that night, and then do the same the next day.
I think that people really need to pay attention to what you said a minute ago, though, because, and that is the fact that they fund a lot of the research that comes out to tell people that it's safe, because this is the part that most people don't understand when they get their information from the mainstream media, is that what you're fed on the big networks is this prestigious research that comes out of an Ivy League university or from the CDC or the FDA. And people, if you ask anybody, are politicians corrupt? Most people say, of course they are. They lie, they do this. But don't they realize that these are also government entities? These are also people that are in the same arena, and they have to understand that you can be lied to by these quote prestigious organizations to get off an agenda, because what we haven't said yet is the enormous, and I mean enormous, amount of money that is involved in people using herbicides, pesticides, the whole food industry. The money behind this is incredible. So when people find out that they can grow their own food, and there's ways to feed the planet with organic food, and there's no reason to have a food shortage. When people find out the truth, this would crush the profits of all these companies. So people have to understand, as we've talked about in many industries, including big pharma, that public health gets trumped all the time for the sake of profit. And I think if people really understand that, they won't just think of this as just, oh, foofy stuff, or organic food is just, you're just paying too much. They'll really understand that there's something more at hand here. If you want to call in, my guest tonight is Christina Sarich. She is a prolific writer, writes for many, many websites on many different topics. 800-222-5222, 800-ABC-KBC if you want to call in. And, you know, we could talk about GMOs forever, but I want to go on to something else. There's another article about, I think it was pretty recent, I think it's recent, that you wrote about, and that was China calling out to reduce their meat intake by 50%, and how there's others calling on in this country for us to do the same thing, and the impact that factory farms and the meat industry has on the environment and our health. I mean, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, this is another, even in my own family, I mean, I'm a Texas girl. I was born and raised in Houston. I spent many years of my life in Hawaii. But, you know, this is the barbecue central.
Yeah, exactly.
People don't love to hear my opinion on this. But then, you know, that's changing. Even where I live, I currently reside in Fort Worth. And, you know, this is cattle range, basically. But there's, you know, one of the most popular restaurants here is vegan. So there's a whole range. And, you know, my opinion is, if you can't stop eating meat, just reduce it. So, you know, there are a lot of, I have diehard friends who are, you know, all about being vegan. And I have other friends who are all about raw food, and others that are vegetarian. Of course, in the yogic and Ayurvedic tradition, they discourage eating meat for other reasons. But, you know, if you look at a lot of literature about people that live a really long time and have high quality of life into their, you know, elderly years, past 100 even, they come from small villages and sort of remote places where meat is eaten maybe once or twice a year. It's not part of their everyday diet. And certainly it's not factory farmed meat that's full of antibiotics and hormones and another thing that Monsanto and the biotech industry has its hand in, the RGBH. But, you know, even milk and dairy and chicken, and now we even have to worry about our seafood because of the way it's factory farmed. It's pumped full of antibiotics, and, you know, it's not regulated, so it's not always grown under the best conditions. So, you know, confession, I would love to be vegan, but I'm a breastfeeding mother and I'm hungry. So, you know, I don't eat chicken. I don't eat red meat. I don't eat pork. But I limit the fish that I eat and try to eat mostly a plant-based diet. And no matter what you feel, the phytonutrients that are available in green leafy vegetables or, you know, one food, turmeric, that comes from a root that's used all over India and throughout Asia, that one root vegetable cures a myriad of things, from cancer to rheumatoid arthritis, you name it. It has so many amazing qualities. And, you know, it's a plant.
Right.
So the more plants that you eat, the more herbs that you eat, usually your body will start healing itself, and there's no need to resort to more drastic forms of healthcare, you know, the cutting and slicing and big pharma meds. So, you know, Harvard has even suggested that people eat less meat. So, you know, even though I just called out some of these larger institutions for their fraudulent studies, you know, if someone's on the fence, I'm like, go check out this study. But yeah, just overall, a plant-based diet is going to result in you having better health. And obviously it should be organic based on the discussion we just had. But I'm sure that you've found in your practice that, you know, what people eat affects how they feel tremendously. Like, I know if I green juice in the morning, I have so much energy, it's ridiculous. I don't need coffee. I don't need refined sugar. I don't even want it anymore. And it's really hard to be obese, and we have an obesity epidemic in this country that's just getting ridiculous. I mean, it's not really people's fault. You know, everyone says, oh, you know, they'll look at someone and make judgments. Oh, they must be lazy, or they eat horrible food. Well, they do eat horrible food, but it's also how this society has been set up. You know, the reason there's fast food is because we don't have time. We have to eat fast, you know?
We don't have time to
sit down and have dinner with our family.
Programmed that. There's no doubt we've been programmed for that. You know, we're up against the break, Christina. When we come back, I want to continue on that, because the environmental impact on these factory farms is something that I didn't realize. I mean, I know how bad the meat is for you, but I want to talk about the environmental part too. So my guest tonight is Christina Sarek. Don't want to butcher your last name. You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP? And you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Are you tired of the old bait and switch when you're buying auto insurance online? May I interest you in a conversation with an actual human being regarding your insurance needs? If so, call HVH Insurance Services at 888-498-4495. HVH Insurance specializes in auto, home, and business insurance. For honesty, integrity, and a personal relationship with your broker, pick up the phone today and call HVH at 888-498-4495 or log on to hvhins.com. That's hvhins.com.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really. Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like One Touch and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Hold everything.
for less. The Pack Store Save event is going on now at the Home Depot, and the shelves are full of smart moving solutions, like moving boxes from as little as 74 cents, bubble wrap, mattress covers, packing tape, all in one place. Moving is stressful enough. Getting what you need in one trip shouldn't be. Make your first move to the Pack Store Save event, going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 27th, U.S. only.
Hey, it's Jillian, and I want to tell you guys about Northwest Rugs and Furniture. Did you know they've been locally owned for 24 years? They've got the largest selection of rugs on the West Coast, and they pride themselves on having quality rugs and furniture at affordable prices. I should know, I bought a rug about 10 years ago that I still have in my dining room. Northwest Rugs and Furniture has a diverse selection of dining room, bedroom, and living room furniture. There's a huge sale going on right now with 25% off and lowest prices of the season on rugs. Make sure to visit their new store in Sherman Oaks and visit nwrugs.com.
Hi, it's Alan Gervey.
And I'm Carrie Kasem.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice?
Then tune in to Gervey's Law Saturdays at 2 when we open up the discussion and tackle difficult issues in law and life.
That's right. You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Gervey's Law is that anything that can go wrong can also go right. And we go at it with some of the greatest legal minds in the country.
It's the intersection of law and life. Don't miss it. Saturdays at 2 right here on Talk Radio 790 KAVC.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-597-4816. That's 1-800-597-4816. 1-800-597-4816. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Oh, baby, get a look at those. Norm's Baby Back Ribs are back. Complete rib dinners with golden fried shrimp, crispy chicken tenders, or juicy sirloin steak. Starting at $11.99, soup and salad included. Stack up your rack at Norm's. Open 24/7. Normsrestaurants.com.
On one night, we all stand together.
Let's build a world where cancer is no more.
Hollywood's biggest and brightest stars will take center stage.
Let's build that world where every cancer patient says and believes, I will survive.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up to cancer. A one-night event. Live Friday, September 9th at 8, 7 Central on ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC. Check your local listings for cable providers.
Chef Jamie Gwen here. Join me on Sundays at 12 noon for delicious conversation. This Sunday, we're celebrating summer with Savour Magazine's editor Adam Sachs. He's bringing blueberry barbecue chicken and pie. And fitness expert Lisa Lin will cure your tired blues. I'm live on Sunday at 12 noon right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Are you tired of the old bait and switch when you're buying auto insurance online? May I interest you in a conversation with an actual human being regarding your insurance needs? If so, call HVH Insurance Services at 888-498-4495. HVH Insurance specializes in auto, home, and business insurance. For honesty, integrity, and a personal relationship with your broker, pick up the phone today and call HVH at 888-498-4495. Or log on to hvhins.com. That's hvhins.com.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And I am back. My guest tonight is Christina Sarich. She is a prolific freelance writer, writes for The Underground Reporter, Waking Times, Mind Unleashed. She wrote for Natural Society. That's where I first saw her work. Writes on all types of topics. We've already talked about GMOs and big pharma. We were talking, Christina, before we went to the break, about the factory farms. And one of the things I wanted to bring up was we know how bad the food is from factory farms and the problems with the hormones and the antibiotics that these animals and the conditions, horrific conditions, and we eat all and all that goes into our system. But the impact on the environment was something that just shocked me. I just want to read a couple of things, some stats here, and that half of all the water used in the United States is used raising animals for food. 2,400 gallons of water to make 1 pound of meat. The result of the factory farm runoff from drug-laden chicken feces, it showed that there are fish in Maryland and West Virginia, male fish, that were getting ovaries. I mean, this is insane. And then when we talk about the greenhouse gases, the methane gas, the carbon dioxide, it is the animals causing more of the problem than cars. So when people are switching over to driving different electric cars or Tesla or Priuses or whatever, you could do way more by simply just reducing your meat intake. So I mean, what do you think about
it's
that? I had
crazy.
No idea that the environmental impact was that tremendous. So not only could we get healthier, right, if we reduce the intake of meat, but we could solve a lot of our environmental. And we haven't, that's not even mentioning that those same animals, when they're slaughtered, they're using huge trucks to cart mm-hmm. the meat everywhere, which is, again, more greenhouse gas.
More fossil fuel use. Yeah, they're paying into the oil cartels. Not only that, they're clear-cutting rainforests to make space for livestock to graze. It's just, you know, I honestly didn't know how bad it was because I had just accepted the health benefits alone for a while, and I hadn't researched how bad the environmental damage truly was. But yeah, like parts of Brazil look like a wasteland because of the forest being clear cut so that they can graze, you know, Brazilian beef. So, you know, one of their biggest exports is to Japan. So someone in Japan doesn't know that this country where their meat comes from is completely eradicated. You know, and you go to Kobe Steakhouse and have a great night, but really, it's having a tremendous impact beyond just that hour of time that you're enjoying that piece of meat. So, you know, you raise the point about driving electric cars and such. It's so true. I mean, the amount of cleanup it would take, you know, for one typical factory-run pig farm, it's enough waste generated in that pig farm to equal that of a small city.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
It's nuts. So if you're not motivated to do it for your own health, then you can possibly be motivated to do it for the planet so that, you know, it's not a good thing.
Well, yeah, another stat I saw was 90% of the Amazon rainforest has been cleared since mm-hmm. 1970, just making room to get these animals, to raise them to be slaughtered. And again, This is all for naught. It doesn't have to be this way. And when you look at you see some of these secret videos of the way these animals are treated, it is hard to go out to the steakhouse and have a great time when you realize not only what you're doing to your health, but what you're doing again to the planet. And then when you see young girls reaching puberty at tremendously young ages, 10, mm-hmm. 11, and again, this seems to be linked, I believe, to the hormones that are given to the cattle. So
right.
it's a huge problem.
It happens with the dairy as well. So they, you know, they'll give the cows hormones so that they produce more milk. And obviously, you know, that's affecting all kinds of things hormonally. So when you ingest that milk, you're taking down those hormones. And, you know, like you said before, people are then surprised that it has an effect on their own health. And it's really not rocket science. You know, if you look at what these practices do to the animals, you're next in line up the food chain. So you can expect the same thing to happen.
It's getting
to you.
Really close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in that same vein, let's talk for a minute about a gentleman that's here local in L.A., Ron Finley. I think you had posted recently about him. He is, quote, the gangster gardener that started planting in the sidewalk area, I guess public areas in L.A., and growing food and doing it just, you know, like a grassroots level, and it's just gone viral. And I think you had said something about the growing of gardens is becoming more radical than voting, or I'll let you phrase it the way that you had said that.
Yeah, so, I mean, what Ron's doing now, he's sort of become famous almost, you know, in the green world for guerrilla gardening. And, you know, he has a very witty way of putting things. So it's very attention-gaining, which is wonderful because it needs to be. But what he's doing isn't really new. In the 1970s, there was a huge financial crisis, and landlords were vacating land, and so there were vacant lots that would go derelict. And there was a woman named Liz Christie who decided, you know, instead of letting this land just sit here and collect trash and bring down the value of my community, I'm going to plant the garden. So she kind of started a movement in Manhattan's Lower East Side. And there have been others. There's a gentleman in the UK that's done the same thing, but Ron Finley's done it in South Central. And what's really interesting about how he puts things, and I have a quote for you. I love how he just is so succinct and in your face with his ideology. But he says, I live in a food prison. It's all by design, just like prisoners are by design. I just got tired of being an inmate. So I figured, let me change this paradigm. Let me grow my own food. This is one thing I can do to escape this predestined life that I have unwillingly subscribed to. So if you've ever watched some of the documentary footage on what he's done in South Central, you know, he would go around his city and try to find organic food or even vegetables at local grocery stores, and then he'd go to a more affluent area and find that what was offered there was completely different. And he started out planting, I think it was just like on 100 feet that happened to be outside his apartment tenement that was derelict land that was owned by the city. They tried to fine him, and they were going to arrest him for planting vegetables that were free to anybody walking by in what's known as a food desert, where people of lower income don't have access to healthy food. And so because he's a gregarious and outspoken man, he bent the ear of a city council member and convinced him not only to let him keep his garden, but not be arrested and to not have to pay the fine. And then I think that sparked, you know, his journey, and he started to do it on a larger scale. And so I think what he's trying to get across is something that, you know, it goes deeper. It goes way deeper, because what's happened in our world now is food has become political. And so these big corporations that we spoke of at the top of the hour, Monsanto and Dow, they go out and do land grabs. And so small farmers not only can't make a living anymore, but they can't even put their hands on arable land. And then once they get it, the soil is so depleted because of the corporate agricultural practices that we've been doing for the past 40 or 50 years. The same food that they would grow today is entirely different than what was grown, say, 45 years ago. So you grow some spinach, it has all of the vital nutrients and minerals that you need. You would have to eat 65 cups of that spinach today because the soil is so depleted. So land itself has become this immensely important commodity. And if it's just sitting there doing nothing, then it becomes a political statement to take it back. And when I said this goes deeper, it goes all the way back to like the Middle Ages. You know, it used to be that there would be a king or queen, and they would divide up the land and make fiefdoms, and you would become a serf. And on your little plot of land that you would actually have to pay taxes to the monarchy to even live on, you would plant potatoes or you would plant turnips. But you certainly weren't allowed to plant enough food and enough variety of food so that you could be self-sovereign. The whole point of the system was so that you were beholden to the monarchy, to the king or queen. And if you look at what's happening today with these biotech companies buying out land or, for instance, going into the Ukraine with loans from the IMF and the World Bank, they're buying up what used to be plots meant for small family farms. So, you know, the bigger we've gotten with the Industrial Revolution and now with these huge biotech and agritech companies, we've taken the land away from the people. And you know, my time in Hawaii and you know, just studying this, in some cultures, you can't own land. You know, the Native Americans didn't own land. The Polynesians didn't believe in owning the land. We just are stewards of the land. And so what Ron Finley is asking us to do is to stop asking the rulers of the rigged system, the monarchy, you know, you could say the Clintons and the Trumps or whatever rigged political candidate is handing down, or even your local city council, stop asking for permission and pick up a piece of land that's just sitting there and plant something in it, because you're taking back your right to something that's so fundamental, you know, to the fabric of society, not just your own health, but, you know, to making community, to taking back what's yours. And it's amazing. I think what he's doing is great.
It's so simple and yet so profound at the same time, to use land in South Central like that, that's not being used to feed people healthy food. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing. You know, you brought up the rigged system, and that's really one of Trump's tweets. He talks about it being a rigged system. So who do you like for president? Because Trump says he's going to fix the rigged system. But is he part of the rigged system?
Oh, boy, that's a loaded question.
In 1 minute or less, right?
If I go into a voting booth today, I'm writing none of the above.
Yeah.
That's what I'm writing. I think that...
But isn't that a vote for Hillary, though, if you don't vote at all?
I think it is a vote. And honestly, I think we vote in our actions every single day. Why do we need to wait for the presidential, you know, election every 4 years? You vote when you walk into a grocery store, or you vote when you go to a food co-op, or you vote when you show up at a community garden. You vote, you know, when you decide what kind of drugs you are not putting in your body. You know, every one of those choices is a vote. So, you know, we're sold on this nationalistic idea that we're failing our country and we're bad citizens if we don't participate in this rigged system. But the truth of the matter is, you know, these two candidates are representative of an ideology that really doesn't represent what most people in the United States feel.
What is it? When you say it's rigged, though? Because I know you wrote about voter fraud happening too. So is it because I talked about that before on this program briefly too, that when you look at the way that we vote in this country, there are some states that have paper ballots, there's some states that have a combination paper along with machines, and there's some that have pure you know, computerized, which high school hackers have shown they can hack into those machines, let alone someone that's at a more advanced level. So do you think that all this is just a big show, that whoever the elites or the globalists or whatever you want to call them want in office, it's gonna happen? You know, it's one of those things that you can do whatever you want, but it's gonna happen either way. Or do you think it's a voter fraud thing, or do you think both candidates are just one and the same?
I think it's both. I think, you know, it's an overused quote, but Franklin D. Roosevelt said presidents are selected, not elected. So I think the people who are pulling the strings, and when I say that, I don't mean like some dark and mysterious set of people behind the scenes. There are families that will have $100,000 dinners to raise money for their political candidate of choice. And then, you know, do we ever see debate with a third party? Do we ever see something besides a Democratic or a Republican candidate that really gets any press? I mean, our media is controlled by six companies. That's it. Six companies are deciding what you see, who you know, that's even a possibility as a candidate. So definitely I think it's rigged from the beginning. And then on top of that, with the voter fraud, you know, oh, we magically changed your party affiliation. This just happened in New York. And over 200 voters registration cards were changed so that these people can participate in the Democratic primary. So if you're not a Democrat, maybe that doesn't mean anything to you. But what is odd about that is that some obscure election law allows New York and 11 other states to decide who can vote in the primary. And the fact that that election law could even be changed goes back to other fraudulent practices. So now, on top of all of this, California is just dealing with another issue with the Democratic National Committee because they haven't been able to provide a fair process for the candidates. Phoenix, Arizona, they're filing for a federal investigation because of the shortage in polling precincts. Bill Clinton's been showing up at at voter precincts, you know, he's not supposed to do that. So, you know, on top of all that, you know, you look at what happened with Florida, you know, there will be a lot of people who say that election, you know, was rigged when George Bush got in. So, you know, our voting machines, we know, come on, we know that electronic votes are rigged. They can be hacked. We know that paper votes can be shuffled. If they just lost, you know, what was it, over 1,000 voters, I think this was also in New York, they just lost the record.
Yeah.
I mean, 1,000 votes, that's could determine the outcome of an election.
Yeah, so, it's clearly something's wrong there. Christine, we only have a couple minutes left, and I just want to ask you one quick thing, and that is, where do you get your ideas to write about? I mean, how do you even come up with this? Because you write about so many different. I mean, I saw an article about. You wrote about fake olive oil. I mean, where do you get these topics from? And again, we only have about a minute and a half left. But
sure. I think they're all tied together. Even though they seem like they're unrelated, they aren't. There are people in this world who are working to make sure that we can't be the most vital, healthy, amazing people that we are deep down. And then there are others who are working against that. So I'm constantly kind of obsessed with discounting the propaganda that's out there in all of these different arenas. I concentrate on health primarily, but and I'm also fascinated. I'm just absolutely fascinated, and that thirst for knowledge is what gives me the idea. I ask the question that I want to be answered myself, and then I go research the heck out of it and find the answers, and that's how it happens.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. You are a fantastic writer, really are. It's amazing. I really appreciate you being on tonight. Thank you for sharing an hour and staying up late, and we'll let you go back to your baby.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful evening.
Okay, thank you. That was my guest, Christina Sarich. She is a great writer. Google her. Look at her articles. She writes on The Underground Reporter, Waking Times, Mind Unleashed. And these are some of the sites that you should try and go to and look for your news. So when you listen, when you watch CNN, when you watch Fox, ABC, NBC, etc., listen to what they have to say, and then go to some of these other sites and see what other people have to say, because you're not going to hear that on mainstream media. You're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear what you hear on this show in mainstream media either. Educate yourself. It can really help you save your life and your family's life. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith. You've been listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics. You guys have a great week, and I will be back next Saturday night.
This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.